Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the February 2022 online Midwinter Home Education Conference.
Okay, so this is a panel discussion with three lovely ladies. We're going to talk about working while homeschooling. So I'm going to turn the time over to Jessica first, and we'll get started.
All right. Well, welcome. I recognize some of your names here. It's good to be with you again. My name is Jessica Croker, and I have six children. My oldest was born in 2000. And so she will be 22 this year. She is married and lives in Provo, Utah. My second is on a mission, serving a mission at the Fort Collins, Colorado mission, which is mostly Wyoming. He's got like a little sliver of the top of Colorado and then the whole eastern half of Wyoming. I have a 17-year-old who is a senior this year. And he decided in 2020 that he wanted to go to public school. So his junior year, in the middle of the pandemic, he decided to try out public school. So he will be graduating from public school this spring in May. And then homeschooling still, I have a 15-year-old who is a freshman in high school. I have a 13-year-old who is in seventh grade and a 10-year-old who is in fifth grade. So we've always homeschooled. My third child is the first one that's gone to any public school at all. And my husband's in the Air Force. Well, he's actually now in the Space Force. They just transferred him into the Space Force. But our whole career has been in the military. So we've lived a few different places. We've actually had a pretty stable military life, but we've lived in New Mexico and Ohio and Colorado. And we currently now live in Manassas, Virginia. We're just outside of Washington, D.C. in Northern Virginia, far enough out that we can have a big yard and some chickens. So that's pretty fun. And, you know, through this whole journey of homeschooling, I felt like it's really important that I be learning at the same time. I think that's part of the reason we keep our kids home, so that we can model what it's like to be a healthy, functioning adult. And so I've had various different things I've done. I have a degree in art, and I'm really interested in all things creative and anything process intensive. I really like to dig my hands in and learn. So when I wanted to learn how to spin yarn, I did. I decided I needed to earn money to buy a spinning wheel. So I did drop spindles and had a little business where I went to craft fairs and made kits to teach people how to spin with a drop spindle, and sold those on Etsy. I've also done handmade books and sold those on Etsy. And I've done sewing pattern design and sold digital sewing patterns. About 10 years ago, I decided that I wanted to take my yoga practice deeper and was certified as a yoga teacher. So for about the last 10 years, I've been teaching yoga, which is not a full time. I usually teach one or two classes a week. And so I've always done small little side things that easily fit into my life and my callings. This year, my kids are getting more independent, and I've really felt a calling to go back to school. So I started a graduate program in counseling and art therapy. And so I'm going to graduate school full time while still homeschooling my three children, and I still do teach yoga. So that's kind of the work life I have. I am not earning enough money to take care of our family or anything like that. But I have felt it really essential for me to keep learning and be participating in things that are interesting to me so that I can model that for my children and really make that a priority. So I'll just end with that as my my introduction, and then we can get into more questions later.
Thanks. We'll turn the time over to Becca now. And then after Becca, let's have Heather give her a little introduction.
I'm Becca Bamberg. I live out in Oregon, and I inadvertently began homeschooling. I did not purposefully set out thinking I was going to homeschool. My oldest daughter got to be 4 years old in 2008, and she was quite precocious. And I decided that she needed some homeschooling, like some preschool socialization and some enrichment. And I found a homeschooling group because there wasn't a lot of enrichment opportunities available where we lived at the time. And I found a homeschool group and thought, well, this will do. She'll get some socialization and some enrichment. But in talking to all the moms that were there and learning about what homeschooling was, the next year I tentatively began intentionally homeschooling her as a very precocious five-year-old who was speaking since she was 18 months and reading books starting at four. And I thought I was just in for it because this poor kid was just outpacing me at 5 years old. I also had a second daughter who was three at that point, and I suspected her to be neurodiverse. And so the public school model was not going to work for her. And then it came to be 2010, and I needed to return to the workforce. So I entered a trade school and navigated my divorce at that time. And so that was full-time school, full-time legal battle, and full-time homeschool. So that was a lot of lost sleep and balancing and all of that that came with that. My friends and family were an invaluable support during that time. I really leaned on them a lot to help me continue the homeschooling and also to help with watching them while I was busy. I began my massage career. I'm a licensed massage therapist that I began in 2011 while continuing to homeschool. Now the massage is not full-time in that it's 40 hours. I work anywhere between 20 to 30 hours. Currently, I work about 25 in massage. And so it's not full-time, but it earns a full-time wage because of the wage that is paid in Oregon. I enjoy a thriving practice out here in Beaverton, Oregon. In 2018, both of my daughters enrolled in an online public charter school. At that point, it was a decision that we needed to make that would support them. My oldest was in high school at that point, and I did not want to draft a transcript because she's college bound. I again returned to school in 2020. I graduated that year with a diploma in aromatherapy as a master aromatherapist. So I'm now a certified professional aromatherapist as an adjunct profession to my massage. And I do about another 9 hours a week in that. So I work a total of about 30 hours a week away from home. In December of 21, my oldest completed her high school credits because she was in the Charter's early college program. And she plans to earn her associate's degree in spring of 23. My youngest has oscillated between homeschooling and charter schooling since enrolling in the charter school. And she is back in a second charter school and on track to receive her high school diploma spring of 24. And all through the homeschooling, I really found a philosophy based on a quote often attributed to William Butler Yeats. Education is not the filling of a pail, but it's the lighting of a fire. And that is something that has maintained my intention for education throughout my kids' educational years. And I feel like I can't teach my kids everything, but I can teach them how to learn. And I feel like that's a really important point when you're homeschooling is that you don't have to do it all. You can teach them to find the answers. And that's okay, because in real life, once we're adults, we have to go and find the answers on our own. And I really like to engage my community to help me, my family, my friends, and experts in the community, and teach my kids to find the teachers in their life. Because again, that's how it is for us adults. To the point, like for an example, for something that I did, I got a mailer. I don't know if they do this in other parts of the country, but car dealerships will send out a mailer with like a key that says, bring this key in and see if you win this great prize. And so I decided that that car dealership was going to teach economics that day. So I took my kids down to the car dealership and I walked in and they asked how they could help me. And I said, I'm a homeschooling mom and I want you to teach my kids economics. Teach them about this mailer. And that salesman, to his credit, took that and ran with it. And he taught them exactly what it was, that it was a hoax and that they were just trying to get people in. And this is how car sales work. And my kids walked away understanding an aspect of economics that day. And one other point that I think that really every parent needs to understand, but that those working, and I would also classify anybody who is taking care of like an ill spouse or doing anything outside the home that is not specifically home-based and school-based, but that would be classified as working from home, and that you need to protect their homeschooling time. Protect it just like it was any other appointment that was important to you, a dentist appointment, or if you were to send them off to school, they wouldn't be available to be interrupted. They would be at the school. And work hard to train your family and friends to understand that you're your child's teacher and home is their school. Don't answer your door, don't answer your phone, don't accept commitments during that time. That is their time to be protected. And I've been called an iconoclast, and I think that that is something that should be embraced when you are a homeschooling mom that is working as well. Early in my career, I would work at night or in the evenings. I wasn't there for bedtime, but I was there for school time. If you need to work at night, or if you need to school at night, or just school on a school schedule that works for you, maybe you school on the weekends. And give yourself to be perfectly imperfect. You don't have to do it all. Engage the help of your community, your family, your friends. And one of the things that I did in the early grade levels was I just focused on like 1 to 2 hours of the basic R's and added spelling at about age 8 using Spelling Power. I really like those turn and play curricula that require just no or minimal preparation. I really liked Singapore math when they were young for that reason. And consider doing like unit studies. We really like to do those and integrate multiple skills into one thing that they are passionate about. We spent a season of our life really interested in geology, and we travel a lot as a family. My kids have been through 26 states at this point, and we're going to add 3 more this summer. And after every trip, they would have to write a paper that was age appropriate. When they were very young, it was just one sentence. What did you learn? What was something that was your favorite thing that you saw or did? And help them incorporate that into themselves. Also, assess their progress only against themselves, and don't hold yourself to a yardstick that isn't something that they're capable of. Having a neurodiverse daughter really integrated that into me. She can't be compared to her sister or anybody else because she learns on her own schedule, at her own rate, and her own topics. And when you're making popcorn, not all the popcorn kernels pop at the same time. So it's okay to wait for your popcorn kernel to pop just a little bit later. And I really appreciated the ability to revel in the little achievements every day. The moment that they understand that math problem they've been working so hard on, or get that spelling word that has challenged them, and are they moving forward? Then you have succeeded as a homeschooling mom, and you succeed at working too. And my philosophy through the early grades was just to put the basics in, just to make sure they could read, they could write, they could do their basic math skills. And did they understand the world around them? My kids started traveling really at weeks old. so that they could start seeing and experiencing that. And then the mid grades are more for accumulating experiences and discovering themselves. And then high school is continuing to have great experiences and to hone those skills and be ready for adulthood. And then one thing that really assisted me as a working mom was to teach them to contribute to the household chores, because you're a community and they ought to help from the time they're very, very young. And so I think that kind of summarizes my experiences as a working mom and a schooling mom and a mom that did things other than momming. So I look forward to your questions.
Thank you, Becca. Go ahead, Heather.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, hello everyone. My name is Heather Merrill, and I am just going to be presenting a little bit about me, my background in homeschooling, my background in working, and then just a few words about how I put them together. And then, of course, you know, then we will open to questions after that. So I live in Westminster, Colorado. I have a husband and four children. I was educated or went to college at BYU in Provo. I have a Bachelor of Science in Psychology and a Master of Organizational Behavior. Our homeschooling experience has been, I've been homeschooling for 14 years now, since my oldest was in second grade. And unlike Jessica and more like Becca, I didn't begin our career intending to be a homeschool mom, but after my oldest was in school, I was just a little dissatisfied. I was uncomfortable with his experience in the public school, and I started looking for better options. And then in doing so, I started to receive these very strong spiritual promptings to explore homeschooling as well. And before I knew it, it was the only option I could think about. It was the only one that was coming to my mind. And so we decided, you know, to give it a try. Our children were very young. I was terrified. I was scared to do it. I just felt very strongly that it was an appropriate path for us at that time. So I studied a lot. I prepared as well as I could. And we started doing it at a very young age. And we've never looked back, because for us, it was the right fit in every way. At that time, I was not working, a full-time homeschool mom at the time. So the blessings of creating a home in which education is directed by the Spirit and learning becomes a lifestyle and family relationships have been strengthened, these things have become the joy of my life. So just a little bit more about how we've been doing it a long time. My oldest son completed requirements of high school and earned an associate's degree by the time he was 18. And then he served a mission in the Alaska Anchorage mission. He returned home last July and is now a student at BYU Provo studying software engineering and business strategy. So he's 20, almost 21. My second son also earned his associate degree by the time he was 18. And then he became a missionary in the Panama City, Panama mission. And he's been serving there for about 7 months. He's also been accepted to BYU in Provo with a full four-year scholarship when he returns. And Jessica, I didn't know that your son was here in Colorado serving as a missionary. That's exciting. We're neighbors. I'm in the Fort Collins Temple District, although I do know what you mean. It's that mission is mostly not Colorado, but we're very close. So that's really fun. Back to my presentation. My daughter is 15, and my 11-year-old son are still home. We are still homeschooling them, and we're adjusting to life without our two big brothers. So it's a little quieter here, and we need a lot less food in the refrigerator. So that's one of the adjustments that we're going through at this point. So my working experience is as varied. Before marriage and children, I worked as a human resources manager and a management trainer for several years. My favorite work was always curriculum development. Was focused mostly on corporate and management training programs. But when I became a full-time mom and later a homeschool mom, I didn't work outside the home at all. I didn't take a paying job until after I'd been homeschooling for 12 years. Okay, so at that time, my oldest son was already out of the house and serving a mission. And my second son was basically done with homeschooling and was enrolled full-time in the local community college. So I really had was kind of down to two children that I was focusing on in the homeschool. And I accepted what I thought was basically a part-time position with an online high school, developing curriculum and teaching students online. So this is a school that I actually had been involved with for a long time. I had obtained a lot of my homeschool curriculum for my own children over the years, and they had decided to expand with an offering of a fully accredited high school online program once COVID hit. It's a faith-based private school in Utah called American Heritage School Online. They embrace the doctrines of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. And I really wanted to be a part of making that and the curriculum that they develop part of available to more families who are looking for alternatives to their children's learning experiences. So that's when I joined that group. So for the past 2 years, I have been developing history courses for AHS Online and teaching and coaching high school students through their program. I do work from home, doing the course development and working with students, grading their work. And I meet with students on Zoom 4 days a week. So that's kind of how I have both going on at the same time. By trying to put them together is a little bit trickier. I mentioned that I originally thought the position I was accepting was part-time, but in reality, it became a full-time job, especially in the beginning. So there's definitely some adjusting to do, some real challenges with time management. And I'm not sure if there is ever a way to keep all of the responsibilities we accept in balance, but we can certainly learn to prioritize the things that are most important and let other less important things fall out of our lives. I actually think of myself as having three distinct full-time jobs. One is my job as a homeschool mom, and that one is my highest priority. So I have to know, and like I said, I've been homeschooling a long time, so I do know through my experiences how much time I really need to dedicate to that in order to be effective before I then decide to divide my time and give part of my time to something else. So in my case, I reserve the mornings for homeschool lessons, for spending time with my children, and for group activities that we can do together. I've learned what I can delegate that to them for working independently and what I can delegate to other mentors or leaders or teachers. And I also know, importantly, what I want to keep for myself. What is it that I won't delegate to anybody else in terms of homeschooling or teaching and training my children and my family? And as I mentioned, I do have a second full-time job, a paid position with American Heritage School Online. So I reserve my afternoon hours for those. There have been occasions that I've had to work into the evenings to meet those responsibilities. And then, of course, there's the third full-time job, and I think we all know what that is, and that is running the household. So that includes all the things that keep our lives in order, like food, planning, purchasing, cleaning up, preparing, all of that, laundry, chores, you know, financial management, chauffeuring to music and sports and all that stuff. So those tasks, again, I have to allocate my time to get those things done as well. They usually happen in the early morning or evenings, and especially on the weekends. And of course, those things, you know, we definitely re- recruit the entire family to participate in that. But as the mom, we know we oversee all of that. Sometimes all of the jobs collide. I'm doing laundry and answering emails in the middle of coaching my son on a math assignment. So there are times that it does get overwhelming and difficult to balance and to schedule. But if I were to explain kind of in a nutshell how and why I have chosen to do all that I do, I would say that I do it because I'm passionate about all of it. I couldn't keep energy and motivation that I need if I didn't see value in everything that I give my time to. I, like has been mentioned by our other two presenters, thrive on opportunities to learn. And the things that I've chosen to do help me to learn something new every day. So that means, you know, like you, I juggle a lot and I have to say no to a lot. Another priority that I consider very important to me is I have to take very good care of myself. I have to eat well. I got to get some exercise. I've got to make sure I'm getting my sleep, drink lots of water, because I don't have time to feel sluggish or be sick. So I have to make those things a priority. Another important priority that I think helps with all of this is our family, and probably yours too, we highly value the Sabbath day as a time to rest and to worship, to reflect and study and kind of let go of all of those other responsibilities and give that day to the Lord so that he can refresh us and prepare us for what we have in store for us through the rest of the week. I also pray earnestly every day so that I can be sustained by my faith in Jesus Christ. And as a covenant member of his church, I try to remember him always, call upon him for help, because I know that I need it. A quote from President Benson, from Ezra Taft Benson from many years ago, helps me to prioritize effectively. And what he said was, when we put God first, all other things fall into their proper place or drop out of our lives. And I have noticed that very much as a homeschooling mom and also as a working mom, that a lot of things have dropped out of my life, but I am doing my best to focus on putting God first. And as I do that, I am much more effective at handling my many responsibilities. I feel like one of my favorite scripture stories is the story of Nephi from the Book of Mormon, who learned how to build a ship. And he said as he was describing that process, that his ship was not after the manner of men. And I think this is a really critical lesson for all of us who are pursuing alternative educational paths. And that is, we need to build our ship not after the manner of men, allow the Lord to guide us and give us instructions on what needs to be done for our family, for our ship, they don't have to look like anybody else's. And they don't have to go in the same direction or float in the same way. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about bringing the homeschool lifestyle into our family and home. So anyway, there's the summary nutshell. And so with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Danae to go ahead and help us sort of moderate questions and things like that.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for all those thoughts and your background. It's so fascinating to me to just hear all your different walks of life and how they're all connected, but yet so different at the same time. Okay, so thank you, Sarah, for submitting your question here. I'll just go ahead and read through it. It says, I have a question for anyone. I teach full-time now after 15 years of being the exclusive homeschool parent. I'm gone for 10 hours per day. That leaves me only about 2 hours per day to teach and check work for my middle school kids at home. My husband is trying to do several startup companies and feels he has no time to help out. He'd like to, he just is strapped for time. Anyone have advice for how to restructure the home environment so that school is done as well as home, chores, etc.? I have no idea how to restart systems in a new way now that I'm working. Things have totally fallen apart. We have, I think this is a comment in answering, helping answer that question by Jen Altman. She says, we use an online program to help ease some of the homeschool burden on me and the kids do chores. We school 3 days a week only. Monday is cleaning day and Friday is co-op or free day. I work afternoons 12 to 5. I use the crock pot a lot. What other comments would you ladies add?
Well, I sort of mentioned this already. And that is, I feel like choosing the things that you want to keep that are most important to you and that will contribute the most to your family culture, because there are a lot of things that can be outsourced, right? With using online programs and outside mentors and things. But in those 2 hours that you have, what is it that is most critical to you that you communicate and connect with your children on? For me, it's history and literature, but for you, it might be something else. And I would say identify what are those most critical things that you want to keep, and keep them, and see what else you can outsource to other leadership or mentors or programs.
I echo the comment about using the crock pot a lot. Appliances are amazing, and learning how to use them to your advantage are just fantastic for feeding people. I also echo the outsourcing if you can, but if you feel like you cannot, then yeah, like Heather says, choosing what's most important to you. Also, when my kids were in middle school age, I didn't necessarily correct their papers. It wasn't necessary for Oregon to have that level of evidence. I don't know if in your state it might be, but I didn't necessarily correct every single paper. I might have a conversation with them about that paper and what did they learn, and just assessing, did they learn something, anything really? Because in the end, do we actually remember what we learned in middle school? Probably not. We generally build on it as we go into high school, and it's more about building the habits. And my kids actually had access to the answer key and would correct their stuff themselves, because I was more concerned about them knowing how to find the answer and the process.
I would just kind of echo what Becca said. I think for some of the things, instead of focusing on correcting work that they've done while you're gone, try to find things that are either self-correcting, right? You could do math programs that are, you know, sometimes we've used teaching textbooks or those kinds of things that keep a record and it corrects that work for you, right? So you don't have to be involved in all of that. But it might also be worth figuring out, right, if you have 2 hours a day, right, and you're working full time, and your husband is also working full time on his things, I mean, maybe he has 1 or 2 hours a day that could be his hours. Or maybe there is one day a week that could be dad's school day, so that you're not doing it all yourself if you're both working full time and spending a lot of time working to take care of your family, which is right. That may be a totally legitimate kind of compromise to make as you work together as a team to figure out how to manage the homeschool with your kids. And, you know, like Heather said, really decide like what is most important to you to communicate to your children, what's most valuable to you, what's yours that you want to keep that will really solidify your relationship with those kids and help them develop the things that you think are important for them at this time in their lives. Like, there's just no ideal if you're committed to keeping them home while you're gone like give them some structure, but then also don't put the whole big burden on you that you need to correct everything that they've done. In those tiny 2 hours that you have, like focus on like building, right? And find some things that are just self-correcting. That would be my advice there.
Thank you. Excuse me, great comments. If anyone else has any questions, I think we're a small enough group, you can just unmute yourself and ask away. And then if you have another question, go ahead and raise your hand so we know who's next. If you're in a place that doesn't allow you to unmute, you're welcome to put your question in the chat box and we'll read it. Cecilia, I think you have a question.
Yeah, so I'm excited about this. I actually run Ladder Up. So you guys saw the little thing and it has been really great, but it's a lot of time. And so I'm trying to learn how to balance like just the beauty of it. It's great for my kids, but it's a lot of work to run in the background. So I had some questions as you went along and I'm starting to balance. I'm starting to pull in that extra help from family. They're doing it from far away. Like my in-laws are reading with my daughter, so, you know, a couple days a week. So some of the questions I have is if you could, you talked about protecting that homeschool time, which is something that I've really been thinking about. Like I need to figure out some times that are just protected. Like they can't be interrupted. They can't be, you know, taking phone calls. But how much would you protect? Like, I know that's sometimes flexible and I really liked Heather's comment when she's like, well, sometimes the jobs collide, right? You know, sometimes you're taking a call and there's a kid that, you know, needs you. But what would you say is a good amount of time to protect if you were starting out? And I really like Jen's comment about the 3-day school week. I totally wrote that down because I think that that is also a great thing. So how much time would you protect or how much time did you protect if you don't like whatever? So, and I think the person that said that is Becca. So Becca, how much time did you protect when you did that?
I protected time according to their age. When they were very young, it was a short period of time, maybe an hour in the very early days, just because I didn't ascribe to hardcore schooling until they were about 8-ish, maybe even 10. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time reading with them, taking them to the library, taking them on adventures, just because that's our family culture. And then as they got older, it was incrementally larger. Generally in the upper elementary, I protected about 3 to 4 hours so that they had about 45 minutes per subject that they did in actual curricula. And then really as they were beyond, you know, into middle school, I protected again less time because they didn't need me present as much. So I was doing other things, but I was there and could be interrupted. So I might've gone back to protecting over only maybe 3 or 4 hours. And then in high school, I just make sure I connect with them during the day and make sure that if they need me, I'm there. So probably back to about 1 or 2 hours that's protected for them. And then making an effort to touch in regularly, like once a month, one-on-one, we do dates and just go hang out and talk about things that may or may not be school. So that was my personal guidelines. It might be different for you though.
So I feel like my kids, like I can't just leave them alone. I mean, and they're at the age where you're saying that you could just leave them alone, but that's probably a whole nother class that I need to check out. So, but yeah, so,
Now, I didn't say it all went smoothly when I left them alone. The house may have gotten demolished.
Along, they just are not focused on schoolwork when I turn my head.
As I said, I have a neurodiverse one and she does not focus. And that was part of when we went to the charter school and having another authority actually helped her. So sometimes contracting that out to, you know, some other entity, whether it be another adult or another school, or I don't know how the Ladder Up works, but you know, perhaps they could benefit from what you do. But yeah, my life is not perfect. There's a reason there's a green screen. So the house may have fallen apart in those times when they were left to their own devices.
Thank you so much. I really love that. Thank you for adding that. Does anyone else have anything that has helped them as far as protecting time?
As my kids have gotten older, you know, when my kids were little, 1 or 2 hours was really what we did, concerted school time together. And it's kind of stayed that way. Sometimes now that my children are a little bit older, my 10-year-old needs, she needs more attention, but right, I have a 13 and a 15-year-old now that really, they're pretty self-directed on their own projects during the day. And it doesn't mean that they're using their time exactly how I think they should, right? But they've got their checklist of things that they need to do. And part of what they're doing is learning how to manage themselves, manage their own time, get done the things that they need to do, right? And so it may not be how I think they should do it or how I would do it if I were them, right? But it's also a learning process. And there are privileges attached to getting done the things that they need to get done, right? So if they don't get the things done that they need to get done, if they don't get their music practice done, and if they don't get a certain amount of math time done, if they don't read, you know, those kinds of things, then they don't get any screen time, you know, and that's just how it is. But so it's good to have some kind of economy. And I think checklists are really helpful that way. And, you know, we in our family have a lot of, like, we have to see it. No one can just have their little planner in a book that gets lost somewhere. So having a whiteboard up that just has everyone's checklist just there visible for everyone to see, that's helpful. Because if you can't see it, it doesn't exist for me or my kids. That's just kind of how we operate. So really know what kinds of things worked for you and realize that they will work for 6 months and then something else will need to be figured out. I think that's just kind of, every school year is going to be different. Our kids totally change. And that's okay. There are going to be some seasons where you're busier and they're fending for themselves a little more, and they'll learn from those lessons, right? As long as you feel at peace that you're not neglecting things that you need to do. So that is something that you can work in concert with your husband, with the Lord, to figure out, like, Heavenly Father, what are the priorities? Like, what is essential for me to do and be involved in? What things are just the icing on the cake that if they get done, they get done, and if not, doesn't matter. Does that help or make sense?
Yes, it helps. And just, you know, really, like, we do a lot of the checklist. We have a lot of those things just because I have some neurotypical children as well. So, like, just having that, like, structure and things hooked onto structure. I love what you said about accountability, and I'm, like, just making a few notes of, like, different things, and just, like, how much time. I mean, I'm really, like, realizing, hey, you know, we're through almost our first year of this group, and it's been fantastic, amazing, but I'm trying to learn how to, we've now imploded, like, I've gone past, like, we're in February, right, and February is burnout anyways, homeschool burnout anyways, and so we've imploded. My protected Tuesday, which I had protected all last semester, has been, like, just flown out the window. So I'm just like, okay, I've got to rebalance, regroup. How much time, like, give me a list, a checklist, so that I can protect that time. And so I can do that pattern and kind of follow under your shadows for a little while, so that I can, like, just do what you guys, you know, figure those things out, so I can protect that time and then and see what works, so I can tweak it from there. So I was just kind of trying to find out, like, what does that look like? You know, because I do consider, like, these different roles my full-time job. And then you add a hard calling on that. And, you know, as Latter-day Saint moms, you've added that and you've got these things. So you want to do all these things. You have earnest love for a lot of these things. And so just figuring that out. But, I just love it. And then, let's see, I have a couple, like, I just love some of the things you said, you guys all said, like I had just taken tons of notes. I remember why I like to come, but this is actually the first class I've gotten to go to because I've had, my world is imploded and I've had calls and meetings and children and everything. So, and I'm super sad because I love these kind of things. So thank you.
Just one comment that Jen made. She says, I think it can depend. She's talking about protecting time. She says, I think it can depend a lot on what you have decided you want to do with them and not outsource to. I have about 30 minutes per kid set aside. They read to me. I can help with any questions they have with other programs like math. And then we work on their writing assignments together. And that's just what has worked for us. Lots of agreements, checklists are working great. And then the suggestion to check out Cassie's bullet journal class from yesterday, that may be helpful as well. I'd like to add too, I don't know if you've heard any workshops done by Dana Wood here within LDSHE, but she does an amazing time management class that's really helped me too. It's that Jen also said, I'm doing a time management class in the East in May. So whoever can attend that, I bet that will be awesome. I saw that one,
and Jen, I will be there.
Yay! Like
in the front row. So it will be, yes, I'm excited about that. I actually already marked those classes, so.
Well, one thing that I wanted to add about the time management issue is, this is the time management skill is not something that your kids are just going to automatically figure out on their own. they need our coaching to help them learn how to do that. And a lot of the things that have already been suggested, I think, are really critical for that. The checklist, the scheduling, the discipline to say, you know, these are the privileges that you will not be able to enjoy until you have completed these responsibilities, whatever they may be, household or school related, etc. But this question came up with some of the online students last night that I was meeting with some of their parents, and there was a parent that said our son's time management skills improved dramatically when they had this feature on their Microsoft that allowed them to turn off computer privileges at 2 p.m. And after that, you know, they didn't have access anymore to those things. And so, and that's not going to happen by itself. That's something that a parent or a leader needs to implement and say, you know, maybe 2 p.m. might be a little early for you, but whatever, there is a limit that needs to be set by the parent, because the child is not going to do it. The child will find 100 different things to do. And, you know, and it really depends on what the currency is for your child and their abilities and what works for them. But I guess the ultimate point that I'm making is that our time management skills are important, but we also need to be coaching our own children on their time management skills, because they need that for their effective life skills in our homes and beyond.
I think that's really helpful, Heather, that you kind of talked about that. I mean, in our family, the way we've done it, just so you kind of have a practical example, you can implement things in different ways, but we always have a Sunday meeting where we go through the calendar and we go through everyone's assignments for their different co-op classes that they're taking. You know, what books do we need to be reading? Are there other books we need to make sure we get out of the library or order? You know, what papers need to be written and proofread? Like, we go through this with each of our children every Sunday so that they're on top of what it is and we're aware of what's going on for them. And that's a collaboration. And so then those checklists are developed then in that family meeting so that they have their checklist for the week. Okay, so when are you going to work on this thing? Tuesday will be my day to write this paper and get it to my mentor to be proofread. Or, you know, we create that schedule on Sundays so that then they have a pretty specific checklist for each day of the week that they need to know. But we're sitting down with them and modeling to them how to manage their time. Right. Yeah. So I am kind of letting them fend for themselves once the plan is made.
Yeah.
We also do a Sunday meeting similar to that. And that's also a time when people can bring up something they're struggling with. And that way the whole family can support that. You know, whether it be struggling with, like, I'm having trouble getting up and doing this on time. That way we can brainstorm and help them figure that out, as well as support them and be aware of what they're needing.
So good. We have about 7 minutes left. What other burning questions does anyone have? I have one, if no one else has one. Do you ever feel like you're sacrificing things? And if so, how do you decide what to sacrifice, if that makes sense? By working especially, or having these extra things in addition to homeschool.
Do you mean neglecting instead of sacrificing?
Perhaps, yeah. Like, is it worth it to sacrifice sleep? I think Heather said no, like, I have to take care of myself. But like, do you ever feel like you're missing something, or, but it's worth it? I don't know, that kind of thing.
I'll just make a quick comment, and I really hope this doesn't sound too simplistic, but this is really how I operate. And the answer to that is yes, there are times that the spirit will speak to you're neglecting something that needs to have attention. And so for me, that is the course correction. And like, maybe it's just consistency in the family scripture reading or whatever. I am very careful to pay attention to those things and ask prayerfully to be able to identify those things. And like I said, I don't want to make it seem too simplistic, but I really believe that the spirit can guide us as to what our top priorities should be, and that some things are okay to neglect for a season, as long as the most essential things are not. And there's a quote from Christofferson, or I believe it's Christofferson, in a conference talk from several years ago. Some things are good, some things are important, but only a few are essential. But he doesn't say, you know, what are those essential things? I think he wants us to be able to recognize those. What are the essential things? And when the spirit is directing you that you're neglecting some of the essentials in favor of who knows what else it might be, then that is time for a course correction.
Whenever you say yes to something, you're saying no to all the other things. Right. And so we really have to be sensitive to the season that we're in. And, you know, taking care of ourselves and doing things that we're interested in isn't selfish, but it can become that way if we are being self-centered. But we do need to develop who we are. And yes, it's always going to be a sacrifice. We're always saying no to something when we say yes. And that's okay. You know, there's been periods in my life where I hired someone to clean my house because it just wasn't something that I wanted to nag my children to do. And it wasn't something that I wanted to spend a lot of time doing. You know, we have to, it's always a balancing act, and balance is not something that we have. It's something that we do, right? And it's always like a give and take. We're never at an equilibrium. That is not the point of life, right? It's the saying yes and saying no, right? It is always a kind of a give and take. And so sometimes our pendulum will swing too far, and then we correct. And we learn from those experiences, and that's okay. We can't improve without having that happen. So yeah, it does feel like a sacrifice. And I liked Heather's distinction between, you know, are we sacrificing something or are we neglecting something that's essential? That's a good distinction that we have to work with the Lord to figure out.
I think that distinction is important, just like Jessica echoed. Also, it's looking at what is it that you feel like you're sacrificing or neglecting. Is that something that is spiritual or is it something that is mortal? And if it's just something that's mortal, is it actually a sacrifice or a neglect? You know, did you not get that extra math problem done? That's probably not important in the long run because ultimately they will learn their math. So just resting and having confidence that somewhere, sometime in their life, they're going to learn that lesson, and just remember to build that relationship with your child.
So good. Thank you so much for all your comments. They're super, super helpful.
I just want to say, never hesitate to ask for help, right? Lean on friends and family, trade kids with a friend some days, right? You can figure things out, but you don't have to do and be a superwoman. You just don't. And none of us are intended to, right? So it's important that we create community and then use that.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.